Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Wednesday night worship here at Marble. We call our Wednesday night worship WeWo, and we hope that if you're visiting with us for the first time, that you feel the presence and the love of God this day. We want you to know that no matter who you are and no matter where you are on life's journey, you are always welcome here. And we are so glad that you've decided to join us as we worship God together today. Our lives are hectic these days. We are saturated with screen time, we're socially distanced from each other, and we may even feel emotionally and spiritually exhausted. So as we enter into a time of worship, let us ready our hearts and our minds as we inhale the breath of God, the breath of life, and as we exhale some of the load that we've been carrying this year, this month, this week, and this day. May the Holy Spirit meet each of us where we are and make us new. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Hello, everybody watching online. How many of y'all are blessed tonight? Wave your hands if you're blessed in the city. Blessed in New York City. Blessed in the field. Put those hands together. Come on. Put those hands together. Everybody say blessed.
Dark land, since thou hast placed in my heart all the Lord's commands, he's led me above nations and thy enemies away. He's standing up inside of you, so let me hear you say,
we're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field,
we're
blessed when we come and when we go.
For the devil is defeated.
For the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Say blessed.
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 Say
blessed.
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 To bless.
Blessed.
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 Blessed. Say everybody's blessed.
Everybody's blessed.
Everybody's blessed.
Everybody's blessed.
Say everybody's blessed.
Everybody's blessed.
We're going to the tag. We say late in the midnight hour. We say
late in the midnight hour.
God, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work.
It's gonna work in your favor.
We say late in the midnight hour.
Late in the midnight hour.
God's
gonna turn it around.
It's gonna work.
It's gonna work in your favor.
Say it again. I don't hear y'all. You say late.
Late in the midnight hour.
Say God's gonna turn it around.
God's gonna turn it around
and around
and around.
Reading from the Gospel of Mark, not Matthew, of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And still she was no better, but rather grew worse. She heard about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd, and she touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately, aware of the power that had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciple said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, she came in fear and trembling, and she fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Oh, gracious God, I pray this evening, as we share your word together, that we will all feel your presence during this time of worship. Amen. So in the past several months, we have been in the center of a pandemic that is making us weary, making us tired. So it was not unusual for me to find myself, you know, just working my way through scripture passages that spoke to this whole idea and reality of faith in God. And so this well-known passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, is one of those scripture passages that I have been reading, and I continue to read. Now, as Reverend Brittany just shared with you when she read the scripture passage, we know that this was about the woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years and approached Jesus because she felt that she could be healed by making physical contact with him. She had a deep faith. So this passage was primarily about her faith and in what she thought Jesus could and would do for her. But we also know from the passage that apart from her faith, she did something else. She took action, and she worked her way through a large crowd so she could just touch the hem of Jesus. And I could somehow imagine her just pushing her way through that crowd, right? Because she felt strongly about what she wanted to accomplish. And I suspect for her, there was a lot at stake. Now, I want to move to this whole idea of boundaries. The sermon title tonight is Crossing Boundaries. What you and I know is that when boundaries are established, they're done as these lines of demarcation, clear lines of demarcation. They tell us where we can go, where we cannot go, what we can do and what we cannot do. And I also think of that saying, you know, when two people are in conflict and they want to be clear about where either side can go, you know, they will sometimes indicate that a line has been drawn in the sand, you know, right? So in other words, there are limits on each person. And this is in line with the dictionary meanings that we find, right, in several dictionaries, that a boundary is a line that marks the limits of an area. It's this dividing line, right? It's a barrier, something that restricts your movement. It confines, something that's limiting. It's referred also to as the edge, right? And we know that what happens when you're at the edge of anything? If you move beyond that edge, you're likely to fall off, right? So you're taking a big risk there. And it's also referred to as a perimeter, right? Which tells us that there's some kind of border, like a fence. But from all of these meanings, the one thing we get is this big idea of restriction. Restriction of movement, right, in different ways. Now, boundaries have been in place since the beginning of time. You know, we can also, when we think of our first encounter with God in the Old Testament, in that Genesis story, in the creation story, where God sets up boundaries with Adam and Eve, right? He said to them not to eat from a particular tree or they would die, right? So they could eat from all the trees in that beautiful garden, but there was a boundary. They should not cross that boundary and eat from this one particular tree. But our introduction to boundaries in the creation story, it also highlights for us another element that is present when boundaries are set and we're told that we cannot do something. And that is consequence, right? There are usually consequences if you cross a boundary. So, and that is the traditional way in which we see that relationship with boundaries and the outcome that follows. If Adam and Eve ate of that tree, surely consequences would follow. But getting back to the scripture passage that Reverend Brittany just read, the hemorrhaging woman also faced some boundaries of her own. And yes, she crossed the boundary, not a physical one, right? But one established by society that said, and this was more like a cultural norm, right? So there were written rules with it, but it was like a cultural norm that women were likely not to be so bold as to approach Jesus, who was a man. Women during this first century Roman world were treated by society as second-class citizens. You know, this was a patriarchal society. But the one thing I do want to note here, that the one thing we should remember is that Jesus, who was this radical, right, he treated women differently. He treated them with respect, right? But this particular woman, this hemorrhaging woman, would not necessarily have known that. At this point, all she knows is that Jesus has been traveling. He's engaged in ministry. He's healing folks as he encounters them. And that is what she's thinking, right? And she had to push her way through this crowd of people to get to Jesus. This was another boundary for her. And this was a physical boundary, right? She had to push past his disciples who, when I think of the disciples back then, I think of them like his, like Jesus's secret service detail, right? That he used for protection. So she would have had to cross that boundary of getting beyond those disciples to Jesus. And I think also that as we take a closer look at her story, what we're going to see is that there was a specific set of factors that drove her to make contact with Jesus. And so I just want to look a little bit at the relevance from this passage, right, to what's going on in our world today, right, and our role in that as well. And what we can do around that is that we can ask some questions of the text. Sometimes we don't have clear answers, but we definitely can ask some questions, right? So we know that boundaries come with consequences if they're crossed, right? So perhaps we would want to ask, why would we want to cross boundaries, right? What circumstances would necessitate us doing that, right, if there are consequences? What is at stake if we do not cross those boundaries? And what can we gain if we do cross them? How do we equip ourselves if we're going to cross boundaries? Because for sure, when you decide to cross a boundary, you are doing something that someone or a group of people or a law or some cultural norm told you that you could not do. And hence, you need to be equipped with tools or whatever it is, things that will help you to stand up against whatever that giant might be. But let's look back at the hemorrhaging woman and her story in Mark 5. Why did she cross that boundary? What circumstances necessitated that for her? We're told she had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She was hemorrhaging for 12 years, and that's a long time, right? She had endured much under many physicians, we're told, and had spent all of her money, whatever that was. And she was no better, but actually grew worse. So we know she wanted to be healed from this illness and was likely willing to do whatever she could to get beyond it. And we also know from this account that she was persistent. She was persistent. And we're told that she said, if I but touch his clothes, meaning Jesus's clothes, I will be made well. That's where that persistence came from as well. Now, what was at stake if she did not cross the boundaries that she did? What could she gain? What could she lose? What was she risking? That hemorrhaging woman herself said it. She would potentially be healed if she touched Jesus's garment, if she crossed that boundary that someone like her was not supposed to cross. What could she lose? Well, she may never have been healed and be able to feel whole again. She had seen many doctors by her own account, and this in her head was probably her last chance for healing. What was at risk for her here, right? Quite simply that Jesus's disciples or even the large crowd would have gotten in her way of being able to make contact with Jesus. And even if she got close to Jesus, there was also the risk that Jesus would also have rejected her. So certainly she had a lot to gain, but also a lot to lose, and she was taking a big risk. But for her, it was well worth it. Now, we also think of the times that we're in today, and even times going back before this moment in time, which we find ourselves. Women were told they could not vote. Blacks were told they could not do a myriad of things, right? Could not be free, could not vote, could not eat in certain places, go to certain schools. And ultimately, what we're facing today, it's like an amalgamation of everything based on a lot of adverse actions, being told that their lives do not matter. Now, the lesson from the passage we read is really borne out by the hemorrhaging woman's encounter with Jesus and what led to her actions that day. And this is what it is, right? When the stakes are high as they are now, and I will use our current situation of pervasive systemic racial injustice, when there is much to gain, even though there are great risks and the outcome could be great loss, a way forward, and perhaps the way forward, is to cross those boundaries that we're told we cannot cross, to accomplish what we need to gain emotional and physical well-being, to accomplish what is just and what is equitable. And this is what is at stake. And this is what warrants crossing that line of demarcation that has been drawn in the sand somewhere to create barriers and access for brown and black people. And another question to ask is, how do we equip ourselves to cross those boundaries, right? The hemorrhaging woman equipped herself with hope, looking towards the future, to what is to come. She equipped herself with a faith in God that he would heal her. But where I'm really going with this, and I want to be clear, I really want to be very clear about this, is that she did more. She did more. She also took action. She also took action. So like this hemorrhaging woman in the Bible, we want to have hope and look towards a bright future. We want to place our faith in God, but we also want to take intentional action, especially when the stakes are as high as they are now for so many who are marginalized and oppressed, and for the wholeness of our society, just for the wholeness and the oneness of this society in which we all find ourselves. Now is a time, perhaps, that despite the fears and the confusion we may be experiencing, like the hemorrhaging woman, for some of us, this may be a good time for us to fall before God and share our truths, be vulnerable about bearing our souls, about what we know and do not know, what we have done or haven't done, and seek forgiveness from God so that we may draw upon that power within Him to help equip us for the challenges we're facing. Now is a time, my friends, now is a time for us to touch the hem of Jesus's garment so that we can gain the power that is within Him that can equip us to cross those boundaries, but not alone, but together as one human race. Cross those boundaries together so that we can face the challenges that are ahead. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Susanna, for bringing such a timely word. We, as God's people, with God's help, need to cross over boundaries in order to receive the healing that God has in store for us. Will you pray with me? God of healing, our hearts, our souls, our minds, our bodies, our country, our world, and this earth are all in need of your healing. So God, we come to you this day to touch the hem of your garment so that we may be made well. God, we know that you look for us in crowded places just like you did the woman in our text today. And just like her, we know that you call us your children. So may we all be reminded that each and every person in the crowds of our own lives is your beloved child. Renew our faith, renew our hope, oh God, in the possibility of your healing in communities and in lives and in the world. Inspire our hearts to love, oh God, and inspire our lives to serve. Everlasting God, you give strength to the powerless and power to the faint. Make each of us agents of your healing and wholeness, so that your good news may be made known to the ends of all of creation. Through Christ we pray. Amen. We have reached the time in our worship service where we are invited to respond to God's call in our own lives by supporting this community of faith. We are so grateful for the support that we've received thus far during this time, and we can't articulate how much of a difference it makes in our ministry. Each and every gift is so greatly appreciated, so we want to say thank you. If you're streaming with us on our website, you'll see at the bottom of the screen, there's a Make a Donation button. If you click on that button, it'll take you to the secure website of Realm, and that's how you can do your giving. By giving through Realm, it also helps us to keep our information up to date. We are still accepting checks, but we're not processing them as quickly. So we encourage you to move your giving to online, even if it's just for the interim. If you're having trouble with that transition, you can contact someone in the business office and they would love to help you make this transition. Either way, however you decide to give, we ask that you take the time to do so now. There are a few announcements that I want to draw to your attention. Join Siobhan Tull and Kim Sebastian Ryan for afternoon tea as you fill your cups with conversation and inspiration tomorrow, Thursday, October 15th. You can find out more information and details on our website under our calendar of events. This Friday and Saturday, Marble and the Temple of Understanding will host Forum 2020, Science, Spirituality, the Climate Emergency, and Our Future. Over 40 international speakers will be offering their wisdom and perspectives through keynote addresses, diverse panels, inspiring prayers, and of course, their sacred music. It's free, and you can find out more information as you visit our website. Next Monday, October 19th at 6:30 p.m., Julie Faith Parker will be leading the Read Through the Bible group on the books of Jeremiah and Lamentations. If you'd like to join the discussion, please contact Belita McKenzie. But if you're already a part of the Read Through the Bible group, you'll automatically receive information, so no need to worry. Last, but certainly not least, we have our Marble logo face masks that are up for sale. They are $9.95 each. That's less than $10. And they're available on our website. If you buy five, you can get one free. They stop the spread of germs while spreading the love of Jesus. Did you see that? Did you catch that? We hope that you will enjoy them and share them with your friends. So we invite you to plug in, engage, because Marble wouldn't be the same without each and every one of you. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, receive the gift of our lives and this offering of our service to carry your love from this place into a world in need. This we pray in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
My friends, we are living in times when our faith and hope in God, critical. But like that hemorrhaging woman, just as critical is our need to take bold actions. May it be so for all of us. Amen. Go in peace.